The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
So this morning we're gonna start in talking about Christmas, and that's tough for me. I have a nickname around my house. They call me the Grinch. I don't exactly know why, but I'm not the whole month. And listen, people who like Eugene was telling me, kids at school screaming Merry Christmas at you, October. We went to Walmart. I think it was like Halloween Day for something, and they already had Christmas. I'm like, slow down just a little bit, you know? Like, let's, I don't get into like the Christmas spirit until like December 23rd, and then like I'm over it by December 27th. I've got a very short window that I'm very Christmassy and fa-la-la-la-la-y and everything else like that, but most of the time, like, I just am not quite there as quick as everybody else is. And it dawned on me the other day why that is. I like Christmas. I like the songs. I like the poinsettias are beautiful. And I like cooler weather. That's all good, great, and wonderful. Anybody else get stressed at Christmas? Okay, good. I was the only one. We were trying to figure out Christmas plans with family, because we have family in Tennessee. We have family in Florida. We have family here. And you have to have these gifts for this different family. You have to have this meal at this family's time. And this family does this tradition. And you have to do this tradition with this family. And it was just like, all this came on. I'm like, time out. I didn't know. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to like sit in my like, you know, comfy pajama pants and watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I don't know why. But, you know, like sit in my chair and just watch that and like let that be Christmas. And it dawned on me, like, I don't like Christmas. One of the things that gets me about Christmas is the fact that it's so stressful. And I think about, anybody ever have bad things happen during Christmas? Because what all goes on? Life continues, right? Everything that normally is going on in life is still going on, but now we have the added stuff of all these different places we've got to go. Kelsey asked me last night, she's like, we need to find more than one babysitter. Like, we've got like one or two babysitters, but like, we've got like five things in one week. We're like, how? We've got normal life, then you've got this, and it just all crashes together at Christmas time. And so I end up not appreciating, not enjoying Christmas maybe the way I should. And it made me think back to like Mary and, can you guys imagine Mary and Joseph? Just for one, the whole thing to get started. The Immaculate Conception, they're not even married yet, she's pregnant. Then they've got to go take the census, which is a normal thing that would normally have happened, but now they've got to go with a baby. And so they're traveling with a baby, with a pregnant wife. Anybody, guys, you don't have to raise your hand, but pregnant women, the most wonderful people to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen, thank you. Yeah, I'm not even going to say who that was, but you know, yeah, like, then you got to... We got to get her on a donkey. We got to travel all this distance. And I wonder if Mary and Joseph ever like had the idea of like, why this? Why can't we listen? God, you want to send your son to the world? Cool. Let us just stay where we are. Let us stay at home in my comfy pants and sit in my comfy chair and Mary can have the baby there. Or the shepherds. Everything like, and I don't want to say the shepherds got annoyed, because angels appearing and announcing this birth of a baby, that would be something that would be pretty exciting. But do you ever think that one shepherd, because there's always one, right? We all have that. If you don't know who that person is, it's probably you. That there's that Debbie Downer in the group who like, they just see the negative in everything. And somewhere along the way, like they're all journeying and one shepherd's like, y'all, this is a long way. It's kind of cold. That fire we had going, Mordecai did a really good job building that fire. We should have just stayed by that fire. It's getting kind of cold. I don't know that I want to travel all this way. The wise men, I wonder what, and it wouldn't have been the wise men, because they're like stoic and all like, you know, serious. You ever watched a wise man in the play? They walk like this and stuff. But I also love watching plays because they always have attendants. The wise men have attendance, you know what I mean? And it's, I always get kids, and one kid always has enough by the end of the performances. And he's the wise man attendant, and he is done. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And it makes me think real life wise men attendants somewhere along that journey. hey, listen, we've been following this star. Not saying you need to check your MapQuest, buddy, but GPS ain't taking me the same way it's taking you. I want to go home. I'm tired. I'm done. Why do we have to go this way? Why this way? Why this way? And it got me thinking of why Christmas is so meaningful, why it's impactful, why it's important. Why does Christmas matter? If y'all, honestly, like, and you won't maybe, but why is Christmas such a big deal? I'll raise my hand. I've thought that. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. And so, like, I know it's the birth of Jesus. Yeah, yeah. But, like, what does that really mean? Why does that really matter? What does that mean for you and for I? And so this morning, real quick, we're going to look through just a couple reasons as to why Christmas matters. The first one is this. Before Christ came, before Christmas, righteousness was up to us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, "For unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Now that's bad news for you and I. Because what that verse tells us is this, on our own we are hopeless. We are helpless and we can't do anything. Santa Claus is always an interesting concept for me. Anybody notice their kids behaving better around Christmas time? Why? Because Santa's got a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out if you're... There you go. Right. And so all of a sudden, and like, y'all ever like, hey, I'm going to tell Santa what you did. Anybody ever say that to their kids? Yeah. All right. Yeah. And it's funny because like the best behaved kids sometimes are around the holidays because of that. And if you think back to like when you were a kid, you behaved a little bit better around the holidays because you hoped that if you behaved better, you were going to get that special gift that you wanted. And it's the same thing in life. A lot of times we behave better because we what? We hope that our better behavior is going to somehow influence God and he's going to like us better. And so that thing that's hanging over our head, that problem we're having, that issue we're dealing with, that thing that's going on in life, we behave better somehow thinking that that's going to win God's favor and our righteousness is somehow going to impact God. And before Christ came, that's what it was, is your righteousness, how you kept the law, what you did, the best behavior you had was all you really had to offer. And I can tell you this from my experience. When I try to behave my best, I end up failing my worst. Anybody else? You try. I mean, I put forth a really good effort, but the harder I try sometimes, the worse I fail. So before Christ came, before Christmas, our righteousness was completely up to us. The second thing that is why Christmas matters is because before Christ came, sin was only temporarily pardoned. Leviticus chapter number 23, verse 27, it says this, "The 10th day of the 7th month is the day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord." It was the 10th day of every 7th month they had to go. And we've been talking about this on Wednesday nights. If you've been a part of Bible study, it was an ongoing thing where they always constantly had to offer this atonement sacrifice. Now, what does atonement mean? Anybody know? Atonement means it's covered over. Your sin was covered over. And so if it was covered over, then it was covered over till the next 7th month, the 10th day of the 7th month. And then you had to go back and you had to offer a sacrifice again the next 7th day of the 10th. And it got really confusing and they didn't have calendars on their phones so they could put it in and send them reminders and stuff like that. They had to remember all this stuff on their own. But the problem was is that before Christ, sin was only temporarily atoned for. It was only temporarily covered. And so Christmas matters because we're going to see in a second that that is no longer the case. The third thing as to why Christmas matters is because the image of Christ had become distorted. You have it there in your notes, hopefully, but it's John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44, and then also Luke 18, 9 through 14. In both those stories, what happens is this. The image of God were clearly seen as distorted. Jesus is telling the Pharisees in the John chapter, in the John passage, he's saying, listen, you don't recognize me because I'm from God. That's actually where we're studying on Wednesday nights. If you're not a part of something on Wednesday nights, I beg you come be a part of our Bible study. It is one of the most exciting, best things we do at this church, I think, is our Wednesday night Bible study. It's wonderful. I love it anyways. But in there, Jesus is saying, you don't recognize me because I'm from God and you're not from God. And he's pointing out this conflict in this image that is the distorted image that religion has set forth of who God is. Can anybody relate to that? Religion has distorted what God really is. I can. I told you guys about getting saved. I got saved when I was about 7 years old. And this is what I knew when I got saved. Hell was hot. I was going to burn there and I was going to be separated from my family. Now to a 7-year-old, that's a terrifying thought because I went everywhere with my mom and dad. And so you mean to tell me that they're going to go someplace that I can't go to? I don't want to do that. And so the only reason I accepted Christ was because I didn't want to be separated from my parents. I didn't want to be separated from my loved ones. I wanted to be where they were. And what religion did is it's true, but it's also a little bit distorted. They focus so much on God's wrath, God's punishment, God's judgment, and that how hell was this real place, and hell is a very real place, and hell is very real for, it's a reality for some of us. But the truth is that the best thing about my salvation wasn't that I get to spend the rest of my life with my parents, wasn't that I get to go to heaven with them. The best part about my salvation was that Christ died on the cross for my sins. But what happens is religion goes and it puts this picture that's out there that may be true, but it's not the clearest picture of who God is. Anybody ever heard of Westboro Baptist Church? Don't look them up because you might get flagged on like the FBI websites. There's a church out of, and I think they're Westboro, Arkansas, maybe. Where is it? I don't know. Anyways, Oklahoma, there it is. I don't even know that I can like muster myself to say their slogans, but this church has been made famous for picketing soldiers' funerals, for picketing any type of person that dies. They think that they just die, and their message is all about how God hates sinners, and it's just, I mean, like, man, it's tough to watch them say all this stuff and put this out there before people. But what happens is this, because they're called Westboro Baptist Church, people look at them and say, well, that's what Christianity is. And it's this distorted picture of God that is us versus them. And that's never what Christ, when you look back, this has been one of the most fascinating things about our John study. Jesus never says, I'm here to judge. He says, there's somebody who judges. God in heaven judges. I'm just here to spread the message that there's a way you can have a right standing with him. And if, as Christians, if we are followers of Christ, our position is not to judge. Our position is to point them to the right direction because we're supposed to follow Christ. God is the judge. Let God deal with him. Your job, my job as Christians, as a religion that follows Christ, should be to point people to a relationship with God through Christ. That's it. So before Christ came, there was this image of God that was distorted by religion, and it was made unclear and murky by people presenting God in a very ungodlike manner. But here's the good news for you and I. Those are all the bad things. This is all the stuff that was what life was like before Christ came. But then there was this transition, the night that we celebrate Christmas, Jesus's birthday, the manger, the hay, the stable, Mary, Joseph, the baby, all that stuff changes dramatically after that. Y'all ever have turning points in life? Yeah. I mean, and like, I told you guys, I like to play games. I love to play like turning point games where I'm like, that was a major turning point. Like, I remember that day because that day this happened. And after this, everything changed. This is not just a turning point in Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men and in those people's lives. This is a turning point in all of creation. What we celebrate at Christmas is a turning point in all of creation. Nothing is the same after Christ is born. Everything changes. A couple of things that change just off the top of my head. After Christ is born, our righteousness means nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 26, verse 31. 26 through 31. It says this: remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things of the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all. He used them to bring about nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit and made him the wisdom of itself. Christ made us right. He has made us pure and holy, and he has freed us from sin. If you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. What that means is that it's no longer based on you and I. And man, that's such a good news for people who try to live good lives. Y'all ever just try and you get tired of trying and it becomes exhausting? And so you would just rather say, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to try anymore because I can't do it. I can't be good enough. I can't be this enough. I can't be that enough. And what this passage is so exciting to me, why Christmas matters so much to me, is because it gives me the freedom to realize that I no longer have to try. I get to, but I no longer have to. Because it's not about my good works. It's not about how good I am. It's not about any of that stuff that means God loves me any more or any less. God loves me the exact same, regardless of whether I'm good or I'm bad. He loved me enough to send his son on a cross for me when I was a sinner. He loves me enough to send his son to die on a cross for me when I'm on my absolute best behavior. But the reality is that me trying doesn't do anything. I no longer have to try to be good. I get to, but I no longer have to try to. The second thing is that after Christ was born, the penalty of sin is removed. John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Also, you have there the Romans passage, and this is great. "For the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering so that he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but live according to the Spirit." That verse is so awesome. If you have a Bible and you write in your Bible, underline that verse, highlight that verse, put a star beside that verse, because what that verse means is amazing. It means what was once was covered up, and you had to remember the next seventh day, the 10th day of the seventh month, the next time to make the next offering, and you had to make these continue offerings. No longer is the case. All your sin, everything you've done in your past, everything you're going to do today, and everything you've done in your future has all been taken away by the blood of Jesus. If you are saved, if you know Christ, the penalty of sin and what that means, separation from God, has been completely and utterly removed from you and I's life. Only because of what happened at Christmas. The last thing, because Christ came, the last thing is this, is that after Christ, we have a clear image of God. Verse number 22, or 23, I'm sorry, says this: "I am in them and they are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that I love them as much as you love me." After Christ came, the best picture of God is still on earth. God in flesh was who? Jesus. Jesus says, "Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father." But if that's the case, then what happens to you and I? Because Christmas was all of 2,000 years ago. Is that right? 2022, 3? I don't know. It gets confusing. But That's 2,000 years ago. I never saw Jesus. Anybody here see Jesus walk the earth? Anybody here see Jesus do the miracles, perform the miracles, make the blind walk or make the blind see and the lame walk? There it is. Or any of those things? Was anybody here when the manger and they go to the stable? No, none of us were here. So we have no way of saying, hey, listen, I know who God is. I know what God's like. Except we have been given the task of continuing on the exact representation of who God is. Now, if that's the case, then again, we are supposed to model our lives after Christ. If we model our lives after Christ, who was the exact representation of God in flesh, then that means that there should be a clearer picture of who God is that we present to the world. So my question for you this morning is just real quick, and we're going to be done. This Christmas, is the world seeing a clearer image of God by how you live? The way you conduct yourself, the way you celebrate, the way you worship, the way you give, the way you talk, the way you act. Are people seeing a clearer image of who God is based on your life? Because of what Christ did when he came at Christmas, that's why Christmas matters. Because now we talked last week about how we have the best days are ahead of us, right? If you're a follower of Christ, if you follow Jesus, your best days are yet to come. The reason we have a better picture of who God is because Christ came. The reason we can demonstrate a better picture of who God is because we get to follow the example of Christ. The reason that our life is better is because of Christ. And so my question for you this morning is, are you presenting a better life? Are you getting so bogged down, so worried with all the stuff, with all the hassle, with all the headache, with all the different schemes and plans and stuff that's going on into Christmas, that you're losing the real purpose behind it of why Jesus came to give us a better picture, a better sacrifice, and a better way of living? Listen, church, this morning, man, if I could plead with you anything, it's that you would understand the importance of Christmas. That because you understand the importance of Christmas, how you live would change. How you conduct yourself would change. How you go about celebrating Christmas would change. Because you understand the importance of what you have laid before you to show the better way through Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning for this time with our family and God, with our friends and God, people who you've brought together to just celebrate your word. Father, this morning I pray that you would just help us to understand how Christmas, the thing that we're spending so much time celebrating, God, it is so important. It did change everything. Father, a better way, a better sacrifice, a better picture was presented to us at Christmas. And so this morning, God, we get to come and we get to celebrate the fact that you have given us better. But Father, as we celebrate the fact that you've given us better through your Son, Jesus, God, we pray that our awareness would be heightened and that as we leave this place, we would live better lives, showing a better sacrifice, showing a better way of loving, a better way of motivating. Father, that we would show a better way of having a relationship with you, and it would be clear to people around us that they would see the joy of Christ, the love of Christ in us, and it would cause them to want and desire to have a relationship with you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening. And may God bless you.